Stay tuned as Dr. Gary Hedrick discusses the Hebrew names of God today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. This is Liz Aiello. Today, our speaker is Dr. Gary Hedrick, and his subject is the Hebrew names of God. What do these names mean? What do they tell us about God? And how do his names relate to each of us personally? These are some of the questions during the course of this study on the Hebrew names of God. I'll be back a little later with information about a special offer, so have your pencil and paper ready. Now, with today's study, here is Dr. Gary Hedrick.
All right, thank you, and welcome, listening friend, to another edition of our program. It's good to have you with us today because we're going to be talking about one of the most mysterious characters in all of the Old Testament. He's mysterious because we know so little about him, and frankly, because we don't know who he is. Haven't you ever been out, maybe at a restaurant or in a store somewhere, and you see someone who looks awfully familiar, and you think, I know that person. There's something about them that's familiar, but you can't figure out who they are. Well, that's how Melchizedek is. There's something about him that's familiar, but we just can't quite figure out who he is. But when we come to the New Testament, Melchizedek is mentioned as a very prominent type of Christ. So who is he? Who is this King of Salem? Now let's turn to Genesis chapter 14, because here we are introduced to the sixth of the Hebrew names of God, El Elyon. We're also introduced to this strange character, Melchizedek. But first, let me see if I can set it up for you. Here we are in Genesis chapter 14, and this is where Abraham, or actually his name at this point is still Abram. It hasn't been changed to Abraham yet. So this is where Abram rescues his nephew Lot. Lot had been kidnapped by a pagan king named Chedorlaomer. Now, you realize none of this would have happened if Lot had been where he was supposed to be. But he was in Sodom, where he wasn't supposed to be. Sodom was one of the most wicked cities of ancient times. The very word Sodom has become synonymous with a lifestyle of sin and indulgence and even depravity. And of all places, that's where Abram's nephew Lot decided to settle down, Sodom. He was probably attracted by all the glamour and glitter of city life. You know, Lot probably had cable TV and watched all the Canaanite programs and late-night talk shows. He enjoyed their lifestyle because they were very extravagant and very materialistic, even hedonistic. You can just see Lot sitting in a hot tub with a cigar and a glass of champagne, and he's thinking, you know, this isn't so bad. Old Uncle Abram is an old fogey. He just doesn't appreciate the good life. So you see, when Chedorlaomer, this king, and his allies came against Sodom, guess who's right in the middle of it? Lot. And when Chedorlaomer defeats Sodom, he ransacks the city and takes the people as captives, including Lot. Now, Abram could have said, you know, Lot got what he deserved. Lot shouldn't have been in Sodom anyway. I mean, Abram could have said that. And do you know what? He would have been right. But he didn't say that. Because right or wrong, he knew that Lot was still his nephew. So Abram took 318 of his own trained men and went after Lot. They found Chedorlaomer and his army way up north near Damascus. Abram divided up his men, attacked from all sides, and routed the Canaanite kings. Chedorlaomer never knew what hit him. Abram rescued not only Lot, but also all the people who had been taken captive, along with all the plunder of the city of Sodom. He had the people, and he had their possessions. And so he headed back home. A few days later, Abram and his procession passed by a little Canaanite town in the hills of Judea. In the English Bible, it's called Salem. In Arabic, Salam. In Hebrew, Shalom. Years later, that little town would take the name Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. And there in the Valley of the Kings, or what we know today as the Kidron Valley, between the Mount of Olives and the city of Jerusalem, there in the Valley of the Kings, Abram had some visitors. Look at this. Genesis chapter 14, verse 17. It says, "And the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him, at the Valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale." You see, Bera, the king of Sodom, had been hiding in the hills ever since his defeat at the hands of Chedorlaomer. Jerusalem is 40 miles northwest of Sodom, so evidently Bera had heard about what Abram did. He knew Abram had all of his possessions and all of his people. He also knew the route Abram would take on the way back home. So he decided to meet him here at Salem, or what later would become Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. The king of Sodom wants to make a deal with Abram. He has no army left, so he has to depend on his negotiating skills. So he's going to make Abram a deal he can't refuse. And here it is. Here's the deal. He's going to offer to let Abram keep all the plunder of Sodom, all the wealth and abundance of Sodom, all of their material possessions, if he will only give him back the people of Sodom. That's the deal. You keep the stuff, I keep the people. Now, that's not a bad deal. And we know Abram was not adverse to having material possessions, because it tells us in Genesis 13, 2, that he was a very wealthy man, one of the most wealthy men in that part of the world. It was probably quite a temptation for Abram, just like it had been for his nephew Lot. So that was the deal. You keep all this stuff, Abram. Just give me my people and let me go back home. So, as Abram approaches, Bera, the king of Sodom, is waiting for him. But then something happens. There's another king. Look at Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. It says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine." And then it tells us who he was. It says, "And he was the priest of the Most High God." Now, notice the timing here. Just in the nick of time, before Abram reaches the king of Sodom, he is intercepted by another king, a king who will strengthen and encourage Abram, so that when he is confronted with temptation by the king of Sodom, he will make the right choice. You want to know something? God is never late. He is always right on time. What does the Bible say? "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is" what? "Faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." 1 Corinthians 10:13. You see, God knew the king of Sodom was going to tempt Abram to keep all the plunder of Sodom. So he provides Abram with an escape. He sends Melchizedek, king of Salem. And again, he didn't send Melchizedek an hour early, or an hour late, or 5 minutes early, or 5 minutes late. He was right on time. He was there when Abram needed him. It's the same way with us. You know, we don't like having to wait, especially when we're under pressure, like when we're being tempted. But God knows that pressure is what helps us grow. It makes us strong. It turns us into a diamond. What is a diamond? It's just a chunk of coal. But what makes that chunk of coal a diamond is that it's been under pressure, intense pressure, for thousands of years. And right now, I'm just a chunk of coal. Not worth much. So God puts me under pressure because he wants me to be a diamond. But you know something? God knows how much pressure I can stand. He knows how much pressure you can stand, my friend. And the Bible says God will never put you under more pressure than you're able to bear. He'll never expose you to a temptation that you can't withstand. And if God knows something is about to hit you between the eyes that you can't handle, he does what? He makes a way of escape. He intervenes, sometimes through circumstances and sometimes through people. In this case, he intervened through a person, Melchizedek, king of Salem. In Hebrew, it's Malki-Tzedek, literally, my king is righteousness. Malki is the possessive form of Melech, which is the Hebrew word for king. And Tzedek is the word for righteousness. So it's Malki-Tzedek, my king is righteousness. So here comes Melchizedek with bread and wine. And it says he was the Kohen of El Elyon, the priest of the Most High God. This is God intervening at a critical point in Abram's life. And Abram is a very important person, VIP, in God's plan, because it is through Abram that the messianic promises will be fulfilled. When the Messiah comes, he will be known as the seed of Avraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God is protecting Abram so he can fulfill his future role in God's plan. By the way, he'll protect you too, my friend. He'll never allow you to encounter a temptation or a trial that you can't handle. If it's just too much, he'll make a detour. He'll provide a way for you to escape. You can count on it. Well, that's all of our time for today. Thanks for joining us. I hope you'll be here next time. Until then, this is your friend, Gary Hedrick, saying God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. We've been listening to Dr. Gary Hedrick, our Bible teacher, here on Messianic Perspectives. If you're enjoying Dr. Hedrick's presentation on the Hebrew names of God, you'll be glad to know that we've placed this entire series on three compact discs. The set is available for your gift of just $18 or more to help us keep this program on your station. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Let me remind you that when you order the materials we offer here on the program, you're not only enabling us to remain here on your station, but you're also helping us take the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach to Jewish people and Gentiles all over the world. So when you write, consider helping us with a gift above the suggested amount. We'd be very grateful. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series on the Hebrew names of God, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.